Praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. Praise the Lord. He dwells in a holy place, and he dwells in the heart of those who love him. God is good. Tony, is there some way that you can get light up here around me? I'm sorry, you guys are family, right? In the ideal church world, this would never happen. But it seems like with us, it happens every weekend. And he said, "Let there be light." Now I can see. Praise the Lord. God is good. Do we need to turn the air conditioning up a little bit for some of you? Because you're cold? Okay. Yeah, let's turn it up a little bit. I don't know, what is it set on? Two more. We're new to New Orleans, so we're trying very hard to get it right, but after a year, we have not succeeded. It's either too hot or too cold. Pardon me? Yeah. Keep the air circulating. God is good. God is good. It has been filling my heart all day. God is good. Early this morning, he woke me, I don't know, 1 o'clock. Before one. That's early, right? And I got up and I prayed for several hours. And all he kept filling me with was, God is good. God is good. God is exceedingly good. He's wonderfully good. He is vastly good. God is good. Is he good? Is he good to you? I think the happiest people in the world should be the saints. Listen, listen, listen. He is mighty. His might is greater than anything we know nor understand. How many of you have ever tuned in to the beautiful, awesome pictures of the Hubble telescope? And the pictures that are being taken of the universe. Are you with me tonight? How many of you have? Our God is mighty. Consider the beauty. Consider the wonder of his creation. Spoken into reality by the word of his power. Our God is mighty. What he wants, that he will do. What he determines, that he can do, because he's mighty. He's creative. He's awesome in his power. He's awesome in his majesty. Think about it. I can remember many years ago I was in a service. I was the speaker. I was sitting down here with the group, the crowd, worshiping the Lord. The Lord had already spoken to me, tonight I want you to give a particular word. And, you know, have you ever become a scaredy cat? I was being a scaredy cat. I didn't want to do it. And I said to the Lord, please not tonight, just not tonight. There's got to be a better night. Please not tonight. And he listened to me through half the worship service. Please not tonight, not tonight, Lord, not now, not this time. And I'm every excuse in the world, right? And then he came to me in his majesty. When he came to me in his majesty, my arms flew up. Every cell of my being began to scream the praises of God. You don't know worship until you have felt every cell cry out the worship of God. All fear left, all concern, and I was free to worship and obey. He is glorious and he is mighty. The happiest people in the earth should be his church. Because we have the privilege of worshiping him. This morning, in my prayer, may I just tell you the secret? Yes. It was very wonderful. The Father allowed me to experience his love. How can I say this? His love, his passion to glorify the Son, to lift him up so that none would be glorified but the Son. I felt the Father's love. I felt his passion to glorify his Son above all other things. I was so undone. I was speechless for 2 hours. His love and his passion to glorify his Son above man, above creation, above the angels, above earth, above heaven, above every living thing. He was so protective of this glory that he had bestowed upon his Son. All I could do was fall at his feet and worship him. The happiest people in the world should be his saints who have the freedom and the privilege of worshiping Jesus. What an awesome privilege. What an awesome and amazing privilege that you should be called the children of God. What an amazing love that we should be called the children of God. Let it enter into your heart. I'm not trying to talk to your head. Let it enter into your deep parts. What an amazing quality of love that you should be called the children of God. How great a love. How great a love. This morning, as we were in worship and prayer, I saw in a vision. I saw them hand Jesus the cross, and I saw them put it on his shoulder and him begin to carry the cross down the Via Dolorosa. It was horrible. The pain that he was in, the anguish that he was in, that big old heavy cross thumping down the road. And at that very moment, Kevin began, not knowing I was having this experience, began to sing about the Lamb of God, beholding the Lamb of God who died for the sins of the world. I thought about this morning and how it was the Father's love and the Father's passion to glorify his Son above all other things. And there he is, walking down, tripping down. I saw him tripping and falling, getting back up, falling again, because the cross was so heavy. He had been beaten so badly. He was so weak. It was so hard for him to carry it, but he was determined. The one that the Father glorified above every other thing is carrying his cross down the Via Dolorosa, dying like a man of sin, pure, holy, spotless. How heavy that cross was upon that bleeding, bruised, scourged body. The love that radiated through his eyes for every human being, because he knew of all the things he would carry that day, the lightest would be that cross. When he got to Golgotha, he was almost home. The worst was yet to come. But the glory of all the kingdom was about to be revealed. Nothing in heaven, nothing in earth would ever compare to what was about to transpire. He humbled himself so deep as a servant to carry our sin and to die in our place. And for this reason, God has highly exalted him. For the love of the Son, and for the love of you, for the love of me, he has highly exalted the Son. Where would we be without Jesus? It's a simple message, isn't it? Nothing profound. But it is the most holy message in all of creation. Fill my soul with rapturous praise, O God, for your goodness unto the sons of men. Why are you mindful of us, O Lord? Because out of the depths of his heart, love is called forth for his creation, of which, thankfully, we are a part. Today, when we forgot to trust him, his love was there. And the memory of his greatness was sent out to stir your heart. Today, when we thought more of ourselves than we did about him, his call was there to come deep. His disciples in the boat, terrified at the storm. Jesus walks upon the water in the midst of the storm. Isn't this exciting? This is so exciting. This is so exciting what I'm going to say. He walks on the water in the midst of the storm, and he sees his terrified disciples. Listen to this. This is so exciting. And the Bible says, he calls. He calls. He calls you out of your terrified place. He calls you in the midst of the storm. He calls you to take that step of faith. He calls you to go where you cannot go. He calls you to look beyond the normal. He calls you to look beyond the temporal. He calls you to look into his glorious face. He calls you to come. Now, aren't those exciting words? He calls you to come. He calls you to come. He calls you to come. Quit allowing yourself to be trapped by your flesh. Stretch forward toward the prize of the glorious Son of God. Believe more of yourself. Believe more of him. Believe more of the kingdom. There is a place being provided by the Son of God for his church. This place is beyond anything the church has ever known. It's beyond anything you've touched. It's beyond anything you've ever seen. It's beyond anything you've ever heard. It's beyond anything you've ever read. Listen to me. The Lord is calling. He's preparing a place for you. I feel it so deep. I feel the space of light. You know, it is like a cave. It's like a cave hidden in the recesses of the earth. You think caves are dark. This cave is not. This cave is full of light. And it's been hidden there and prepared for his own. The days are growing dark. We talk about it again and again. The days are growing dark. They're growing darker than we thought they would in our lifetime. Am I right? Yes, yes. Things are happening in our nation we never dreamed they would in our lifetime. Am I right? Yes. Darkness is encroaching. It's more than encroaching. It is demanding. It is demanding to reign. Am I right? Do you not want a place of light to dwell in the midst of the darkness? Do you not want to see and understand the kingdom as it was meant to be, in the midst of a place where no light is? The kingdom is taken by no room for apathy. It's not going to take you by force. You will take it. Do you believe me? There is a place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, all of your scholars want to tell you that that place is in heaven. And while we can't discount that, the Lord Jesus Christ told me face to face that that place is here. In Him. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not true, I would have told you. That place is in Him, for here. When did He say it? Under the tyranny of Rome, when darkness was overtaking the earth, His people were afraid. They were looking for anyone to be the Messiah. And He's telling them, I am going to prepare a place of peace for you. Peace that seemed unbelievable when they knew that the strong arm of Rome was getting heavier every day. A place of peace. If it weren't so, He would have told us. There is a place. I'm seeing it in a vision right now. There is a place He is preparing for His church. And it's right in the belly of darkness, where you will know no darkness. You will know no harm. You will know victory and life overcoming. But you must enter in to the place of light, where you're receiving the truths of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom, the life of the kingdom, more than you have ever known before. What an amazing quality of love. The goodness of God to raise up His Son Jesus for His church. The goodness of God. When you've come to the end of yourself, when you know it's going to take more than you have, more than you are, to go where you want to go, He is there. He's building a temple of which you are a part. Living stones. Beautiful, glorious stones. I can remember the night in one of our services when I saw the temple built of the living stones. It was beautiful. It was so glorious. You're a part of this glorious temple. He's building a temple to inhabit. He's building a temple of the most beautiful and glorious stones to inhabit, for the purpose of revealing to the world the beauty of His glory. You guys don't look very excited. You don't look very radiant. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, oh, I know all that. Let it go down deep Because listen, truth does not transform until it goes deep. When it hits the core of your soul and the seed germinates and is allowed to come forth, break loose, that's when transformation begins to come. And you think, well, that could take days, weeks, months. It can happen in a moment. When you're ready for the truth, even if it's an old truth, it can happen in a moment. The Word is always ready to release life. The problem is not with the Word, it's with our soul. Capture it with your will. Capture the truth with your will. I will receive that. I will make it my own. I will let it change me. I will let it breed faith. And in faith, understanding. God is building a temple. He's building a habitation where His glory will come. We want revival. We need revival. We need the explosion of revival. But God is preparing something much greater than revival. He is preparing for the coming forth of the sons of glory and the revelation of His kingdom. Men and women who have died to the world and who are adorned and empowered by the glory of His person, like Moses was, like Elijah was, like Enoch was, like John the Beloved. These were types of things to come, types of what God would do in these last days. And his eyes are going to and fro across the earth, looking for those who will believe, who will receive, and who will pay the price to walk therein. Quit saying, it's not for me. Quit allowing your flesh to lie to you. And say, it's for me. I want it, Lord. I want to be part of what You're doing. I want to arise. I want to come into the place where You are displaying the virtues of Christ in me, through me, the glories of Your kingdom in me, through me. He wants to show you. He wants to reveal Himself to you. Because He's a good God. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. And His Word is not without power. If He is still creating, is He still creating? He is still creating. If He's still creating, He has the power to recreate you. And He has the power to recreate you deep in your inner man. His word has the power. It's inherent in his word. When his word meets faith, there's an explosion. I'm sorry, but the Spirit of the Lord does that sometimes. He's gripping them. He's gripping them with truth. And their spirit is doing what the Bible says. It is groaning to bring forth life. God wants this for you more than you could ever want it. We have a Bible this big, with so many truths, too many to count. But listen to me. Listen. With all these truths, I'm telling you, if you can let one truth, only one, go into your soul, mixed with the explosion, the explosive power of faith, it is enough to transform you into another man. And yet, we have thousands of truths.
Hallelujah.
Listen to this. By means of these, by means of what? Well, let's go back. Let's go back to verse 3, 2 Peter. For by his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him. Whoa. Think about that. The full personal knowledge of the Son of God, of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence and virtue. Listen to those words. He's not comparing you with another man. He has called you to his own glory. The glory of man will fade like the flower of the field. He's not calling you to another man's glory. He's calling you to his own glory. He's calling you to his own virtue. By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceeding great promises. Plural. It takes only one. Only one promise out of the thousands in the Word. It takes only one promise to bring us into his own glory. When that promise is connected with faith, your faith. But here it says that he has bestowed upon us his precious and exceeding great promises. Why? So that through them you may escape from the moral decay, the rottenness, the corruption that is in the world, because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers and partakers of what? His divine nature. Now, this is what the church has believed for so many years. We get saved and we try to be like Jesus. And there are those who strive to become more like Jesus. But what this is talking about is a full partaking wherein the Son of God encapsulates your nature, permeates your nature with his own until the glory of the Son of God explodes from within and fills every part of your being. I'm telling you the truth. Faith is the seedbed. It is the ground. If you pray for anything, pray for faith to believe the highest. It is the seedbed. It is the ground. That the seed has to go in and germinate and explode until growth comes. The tree is formed. The Son of God owns your nature. With his own, he has encapsulated your nature. Who shall ascend the mountain of the Lord? Clean hands and a pure heart. How does a man clean his way? How does a man cleanse his way? Not only by the blood. It is obedience to truth. Faith in truth that leads to obedience to truth. As you begin to live in the life of truth, making the nature of Christ your own, the virtues of Christ your own, as you begin to live in the nature of truth, it begins to own you, dominate you, cleanse you. What does the word do? The Bible tells us that the word cleanses us. Yes, the blood cleanses us, but the word cleanses us. And it cleanses us by renewing our inner man in truth. Truth, listen to me. Truth has life. No, I'll go further. I'll tell you what the Bible says. Truth is life. And when the life of God enters into your innermost being, and it is allowed to fulfill its ministry because you are aggressively seeking it, it is empowered, it is energized, it is released to do the work in your soul, to change your soul, to change your thoughts, to change your ways, to change the way you see things until your mind is renewed. How? Truth. Say truth. Truth combined with faith. The book of Hebrews tells us that we enter into the land of rest. How? By faith in truth. James says, don't be fooled by looking into the faultless law and walking away and then living your own life your own way. It is a deception. Truth must transform the way you think. It must transform the way you see things. It must transform you until you are developing the virtues and the nature of Christ. And as you are being transformed, you are being brought into his glory. And his glory is saturating you, permeating you, changing you, remaking you, strengthening you. For what? More glory. Until you become transformed. May I go a little further? Yes. Until you become transfigured. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. Great and mighty. His word has the power to break down the most bone-like resistance. It has the power to break down the stubbornness of our hearts. It has the power to strengthen our inner man. But my dear brothers and sisters, we must seek it and desire it with all of our hearts. It doesn't happen by accident. If we want to live in the life of charismatic Christianity, which has covered this country for decades, and that's all we want to do, God will let us stay there. He will not withdraw his love. He will let us stay in this low level of spiritual life and still bring us to heaven. But what he's looking for are those who have a hunger for something more. That doesn't mean you're perfect today. It only means you're hungry. It doesn't mean you have all the answers today. It only means you're hungry. And you're hungry enough to seek. The Bible says to dig for wisdom as for hidden treasures deep in the earth. Dig, seek, hunger. When have you ever seen a man go into a mine and not work to find the treasure of that mind? The word is seeking the treasure in you to become united to the treasure in him. You were created. Listen to me. You were created to carry his treasure. Created earthen vessels to carry his treasure. What treasure? A meek, little, dull lamp that the world can hardly see? No, you were created to carry the glory of his treasure. The glory that the world can't help but see. He wants you to be the light on the hill that the whole world is looking up to. And we carry this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of his glory can be seen to be of him and not of ourselves. When the world no longer sees your flesh, but it sees only Christ, it will know that he has come. Amen. God is good. God is good. God is good. Amen. Now I'm starting to see some smiles. Amen. God is good. God is good. The world will lie to you. And if it's ever lied to anybody, it's lied to this city. There is a heaviness of darkness, of great deception over this city that wants to cloud the mind of the church, bury the heart of the church, keep you so deep in the deceptions of the world that you cannot see the glory of His splendor that calls you. But so great is the love of God that in the midst of this great darkness, He is going to come and He is going to capture His church and clothe her with His glory. Believe God, not what you see. Believe God, not what you feel. Believe God, not what you hear. Believe God, not what you think you know. Because great is the goodness of God. Let the words go in deep. Just don't even pay attention to those that the Holy Spirit is stirring. Let Him stir you. As I've shared many times from the pulpit, Charles Finney used to hide away with his Bible in the earlier days of his salvation. And he would weep and he would travail. Weep and travail every single night. Give me the truths of your word. Take me up out of the deceptions that grip your church in this hour and give me the truths of your word. And he did it until God answered. Before he went home to be with the Lord, he was taken into union with God. Because he wouldn't be denied the truth. It's not an unnatural thing for the Holy Spirit to travail, to bring forth the truth in your soul. So don't be troubled over those that he's stirring. Just let him stir you. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is very good. God is very good. Dear Jesus, you know every heart in this place. You know the hunger of every heart, Lord. Let your truth grip the heart and make a place for itself to bring forth the glory of the living God in His church in this hour. Holy is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Holy are you, God, and greatly to be praised. Glorious in holiness. Great is your power. You will bring forth a company of saints in this hour, Lord, that will magnify the Son.